seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend Mark Gordon disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
So in the last episode, you'll remember, we heard the start of Constance Martin being cross-examined by the prosecutor, Joel Smith, who questioned whether she'd made a bad decision, taking her newborn baby, Victoria, out onto the South Downs in a tent while she and her partner, Mark Gordon, were on the run from the authorities in January 2023.
Today, we'll bring you much more from a long day of her being cross-examined by the prosecution. We'll explain how the couple stopped seeing their children after they were taken into care because they were worried social workers would lie about them.
How Constance Martin's family allegedly stopped the couple from being able to travel by telling a court she was only having children so they could be sold illegally.
That she planned to try to find a people-smuggling nanny on Gumtree to bring Victoria abroad.
And how she admitted, knowing what she knows now, she would rather Victoria had gone into care but survived than die on the run. And how she accused her family of hiring people to detonate their car.
Welcome to episode 14, Selling Children on the Black Market.
So after a break for the weekend, we were back at the Old Bailey this week for what turned out to be a pretty robust cross-examination of Constance Martin at the hands of Joel Smith, who's now the lead prosecutor.
Yeah, so things got quite heated at various points, to such an extent that Judge Mark Lucroft told the jury on Monday that he was taking an early lunch break so they could bring down the temperature a bit in the courtroom.
Constance Martin also had to be told on several occasions by the judge that the purpose of their trial was not to relitigate or re-examine the issues which had previously taken place at the family court.
But first, we'll bring you some of the discussion we didn't have time to bring you at the end of a busy day last week, where Constance Martin spoke about the couple's history with social services. Her exchanges with Joel Smith are voiced by actors.
What do you think about lying?
I don't think lying is particularly bad. I think sometimes you might be in a position where you have to.
You are okay with lying to get what you want?
No.
Were you asked in January 2020, when you told a family court judge, I would do anything to stay with my child, to comply with a parenting assessment?
Yes.
Did you say no?
Yes.
So you wouldn't do anything?
From the history I've had with them, it is a bad idea.
Are you happy to lie to medical professionals?
I masked my accent.
Did you lie to them?
I gave them a false accent.
This is your first child?
Yes.
No problems with social services before this?
No.
Walk me through the thinking process. Turning up at a hospital, lying about your name and using a fake accent.
I had to escape my family because my family are extremely oppressive and bigoted and they would not allow me to have children with my husband. And they would do anything to erase that child from the family line, which is what they are doing.
Did you phone up your father-in-law and he transferred you £1,000?
My stepdad, yes.
She claimed that her stepfather had tried to stipulate that in order to receive money, she had to move in with a family member who she said was dangerous to live with. She said she didn't want to be found by any member of her family.
Why on earth not?
My family are extremely oppressive, and if they found out about the child, they would try to get it removed, which is what they did.
Now, at this point, they began to discuss her family's finances.
You talked about your funds being cut off. You told the jury yesterday that the trust bought your brother's houses. They were trying to buy you a house too, weren't they?
Yes.
You were about to exchange contracts when you pulled out, claiming it was due to a progression in your career.
I wanted to move to the countryside. They would not buy me a house now. When I pulled out, they said, "We are not going to get you a property if you are in a relationship with Mr. Gordon."
Heavily pregnant, homeless, living in a tent that is damp and cold.
It wasn't that cold at the time, actually.
You had barely any clothing for the child.
Yes.
You could have done something about that, couldn't you?
I had no money.
You could have registered with the council.
I knew the only way I could get housing was if I reapplied to them after the birth.
She claimed they had to flee their flat in London overnight, and they had to abandon the stuff they'd bought for their child as a result.
You used a false name. How did you think it was going to work when you applied for all these benefits?
Lots of people do that. I was going to say I was a traveller so I could be a new person, basically.
How are you going to get a birth certificate?
We would be given new identity papers. That was our plan.
Lie to everyone about who you were.
I would do anything to help my child.
The tent. Did you think that was a good place to stay when you were pregnant?
No, of course it's not, no.
Would you accept that is not the best care for an unborn child?
Of course it's not a good idea. But it's all we were able to do. I was a bit naive. I think in life, when you come up against things, you have to do what you can do in each instance.
Social services get involved. They made an interim care order. They can come and check how you are doing. Did you come out of that thinking, it is a good job we are such good parents?
We are good parents.
You didn't come away thinking, we need to have a think about the way we are behaving.
It was a silly idea to give fake names.
So they then turned to the warnings Constance Martin allegedly received from social workers about sleeping with her baby on her. But Mr. Smith pointed out that she didn't need to be told about the dangers of co-sleeping in the first place.
Are babies more delicate and vulnerable than adults?
Yes, of course.
Isn't that common sense then?
A lot of people share beds with children.
Every new parent is warned about the possibility of their weight suffocating their child.
Yes, of course.
This is nothing more than common sense.
A lot of people throughout the world share beds with children.
Then Joel Smith tracked back a bit to what happened after the couple's children were taken into care, specifically their failure to visit them. Constance Martin said the local authorities were being handed contact reports by social workers about their time with the children, which she said were inaccurately portraying them as bad parents.
Why didn't you visit your children between October to January 2021 and 2022?
We had very positive contact with our children for almost 2 years at that point. Mark and I were doing our own litigation. We didn't have any solicitor. When I finally got a solicitor, she kept writing to the local authority saying we needed to have those contact reports, saying we need a fairer understanding.
You decided not to see your kids anymore?
It was too dangerous.
Dangerous?
They refused to let us go to a place with CCTV monitoring.
You thought the reports were so inaccurate, you stopped seeing your kids.
Yes. In the first contact centre with my child, he was grabbing onto my leg, begging me not to go. This was long before October. Then COVID happened and we kept contacting them, asking could our children be in our bubble, but we were ignored for weeks.
When the child was taken to the contact centre and you failed to turn up, the child was described as inconsolable. When you turn up, you're fine. But the problem is, you don't turn up. Is it fair to say your attendance became more sporadic after March 2021, and you then completely pulled up the drawbridge?
I requested CCTV from the social workers in the contact centre.
Mr. Smith quoted the observation of a family court judge that, after reading the contact notes, she was left with a number of vivid snapshots of what, if this were the complete picture, could be a loving and integrated family.
When you are there, you can do it, but you are not there.
That's not true. We attended for over 2 years. We wrote to them over and over again, requesting CCTV. It is not fair, otherwise they can write what they want.
So Mr. Smith asked Constance Martin about when she first became aware that she was pregnant with Victoria.
I cannot give you an exact time frame, but between March and May.
Do you remember what you were doing when you found out you were pregnant?
I would have been on the toilet, if you must know.
Yes, of course you were on the toilet. But what were you doing in your life at that time?
I was living in a house in Greenwich. I was fighting to get my children back, who were stolen by the state.
So you find out you are pregnant. You know at that stage that there has been a ruling which you disagree with, and you fear that when you give birth, your child would be taken away?
Illegally, yes. It's abhorrent. My children were stolen from me by the state. There is no other way to say it. Any journalist who is here who is worth their salt should be investigating this outrage. I checked records, and a certain member of my family had sued through the court to prevent me from leaving the country. It was a private case. Our plan was to leave the house that we were in and lay low in the UK until we could find a way to get Victoria abroad.
You were evicted because you didn't pay rent?
No, there was a disagreement with the landlord because he didn't give us whole access to the property.
So what is the plan?
Our plan was to try to get abroad illegally, to keep Victoria with us for the first 3 months.
How are you going to do that?
We were going to get some people to smuggle us abroad illegally. We needed to fight in the High Court to get Mark's passport back and get my travel ban lifted.
So we are clear. What do you mean by a travel ban?
I cannot leave the country.
How did that happen?
That happened in wardship proceedings from a member of my family. I had spoken out about serious abuse by that family member, and as a way to get back at me, they tried to take my children away from me.
Are you saying that a court had made an order preventing you from travelling?
It was an ex parte court order. I didn't have any solicitor present. I had no idea it was going on.
Are you saying a court made an order which prevented you from travelling?
They stated I was bearing children to sell on the black market. I was a drug addict. It was completely outrageous. My family have a lot of money, a lot of clout, and a lot of connections. And that is why they were able to do what they did.
So the plan is to get out illegally?
Or get away legally and give Victoria to someone.
Did you first look to change this order?
Yes, we did. But didn't have any funding to get a legal application.
Did you make an application at this court that took your passport?
We went to the High Court twice.
Did you make an application at this court?
I was warned as soon as I would do that, I would alert my family and authorities so I couldn't get abroad.
You had your passport, but you say a travel ban was still in force?
I thought social services would stop me at the border. They stopped me at the border when I tried to take my children to Ireland.
During previous family proceedings?
Yeah.
Now, at this point, Constance Martin again started describing her anger at the decision to take her children away. Judge Mark Lucroft then intervened to remind Constance Martin that this was not an opportunity to relitigate the family court proceedings. So, Mr. Smith continued.
You were trying to find someone to take care of Victoria.
I wanted to stay with her for the first 3 months of life.
What were you going to do about registering Victoria with a doctor?
I couldn't do that, because they would have taken her away from me. She deserves to be with me. I'm a good mother. I'm an excellent mother, in fact. I wouldn't have been able to register her, or they would have taken her.
You weren't going to register her with a doctor?
I was going to take her to a private doctor if she needed, using an alias.
Were you going to register her with a doctor?
They don't need to be registered with a doctor. There are loads of private doctors on Harley Street where you can just show up on the day.
Is that answer, no, I wasn't. I was going to use a false name and give her a false name.
Yes, of course.
Was she going to be registered with a school?
She's a bit young to be thinking about that. I was going to go abroad.
Where were you going to go?
I would rather keep that private.
We'll take a quick break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Constance Martin continued to express her frustration again about the reason her children were taken away.
Where in the case files were my children neglected? Where in the case files were my children underdressed? It was a rotten case, and it shouldn't be relied upon.
Where were you going to go?
Anywhere in Europe, away from here, in a house. We were in an almost impossible situation. It was very difficult to find people to smuggle you abroad. Almost impossible if you don't have the right connections.
So Joel Smith then reminded her that she had already admitted during her evidence that it had been naive to use a cover story while she had been giving birth to her first child. But she said her only regret was saying that they were travellers, but not actually using aliases.
You just told us you didn't have the connections. You didn't know where to go. What was your plan while you were staying in the UK?
I probably wouldn't stay in this country. Not after what me and Mark have been through.
You were going to pay someone to take your child out of the country?
To register our child under their name.
Would you have given your children to the type of person who would be paid to take people out of the country?
It would be a carer or a nanny.
There was then another detour in the cross-examination as Constance Martin talked again about her issues with the family court. But Mr. Smith wanted to get back to his point.
We are going to get back to what you did, because what you did resulted in the death of your child.
My children have been harmed, physically harmed in care. It is outrageous.
Your child doesn't have a passport. You have got to pay someone who is happy to be a people smuggler.
It would be a nanny or something. I would have gone over as a kind of backwards refugee. I would do anything to save my child. All you need is a red book to register them. I would have given her to a carer who would have taken care of them, like a nursery teacher or a professional.
How many nursery teachers smuggle people through customs?
Where there's a will, there's a way. You can always find someone to help. There is a huge network of people who have gone through what we have been through.
So a qualified nanny?
They don't have to be qualified. I would have spent time with them. I would find someone online via Gumtree. There are lots of nannies who wouldn't necessarily have qualifications. We would have gone to their home and seen their environment first.
Mr. Smith said that when the couple eventually arrived in this miscellaneous European country, the child would still be there illegally. But she told him children typically started school later in Europe, and they wouldn't have to worry about registering her for 6 or 7 years.
So Mr. Smith then turned to the Suzuki they were driving around the time she gave birth, which you may remember broke down on December the 28th. Now, this is not to be confused with the Peugeot that burst into flames on the motorway near Bolton on January the 5th.
We have had lots of cars, and I believe every one of them was tampered with by a member of my family. Every single one of our cars has just stopped in the middle of the road. We found GPS trackers on all our cars. We knew we were being followed.
She said she'd been reluctant to use her card to pay for things because she knew as soon as she paid for something, they, she didn't specify who, would know about it. She said the night before the Suzuki broke down, she'd been forced to pay on her card to extend their stay at a hotel. And she believed this directly led to the car suddenly breaking down.
Mr. Smith then turned to the evidence of the mechanic who picked them up when the Suzuki broke down on December the 28th. This was a man called Marvin Blair Holmes, whose evidence, he said, had not been questioned by the defence. You may remember he was the man who claimed he didn't see a child when he was picking them up. But Constance Martin insisted she had been carrying the child in what she described as an African-style sling, which she would fashion from whatever material she had available, typically a large scarf.
She then demonstrated in court how this sling would be tied around either her or Mark Gordon. She said it was very safe and the baby would be unlikely to make any noise. She would mainly sleep, she said, and she'd have enough air underneath their jacket. She then said,
when our car was detonated on the side of the road, Victoria didn't cry.
Responding to a question from the jury, she said that Victoria did have a car seat and when they were driving, she would be in the car seat. Mr. Smith suggested the mechanic did not see the baby because she had not yet been born by this point, December 28th.
If she was born any later than that, I would tell you. I have no reason not to tell the truth about that.
Mr. Smith then questioned her about her claim that she had a car seat for Victoria and how she'd been carrying it after the car broke down. She claimed they had two enormous suitcases, a very large checkered shopping bag and a cat carrier with their cat in it, which they concealed with a blanket. She claimed that both a straw Moses basket, in which Victoria occasionally slept, and the car seat were in the next car they bought around New Year's Eve, which is the one which burst into flames on January the 5th. But Mr. Smith said neither item had been recovered from the car by the police. Constance Martin insisted they must have been reduced to ash.
You have got a child in a car that is on fire. That is absolutely terrifying, isn't it?
I said in my police interview that I thought the problem was mechanical, but I think it is right what Mark said to me, that it was detonated.
When you're in a burning car and you have a newborn child in the back of the car, that's the stuff of nightmares, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
The first thing you want to do is get her out of that car, and the quickest way to do that is to get the car seat out.
Incorrect. It is quicker to undo the seatbelt. Do you have children, Mr. Smith? That's not how car seats work. It takes 4 minutes at least when I do it.
But Mr. Smith suggested the reason the car seat was never found was because it was never there in the first place, and that Constance Martin was lying. She denied this and questioned why he kept accusing her of lying. She mentioned again the repeated suggestion made by the prosecution that Victoria was born later than December the 24th, which she has always maintained was the baby's date of birth.
Then she was asked about the moment they fled the burning car with little more than the clothes on their back. And she said around £2,000 in cash was left behind in her handbag.
I quickly found Mark, who was hiding with Victoria, and I said, "Can you go back and get my handbag because I really need it?" But we saw flashlights coming towards us, so we just legged it, and I had to leave my cat behind.
You left the cat behind?
My child is my number one priority, and I had to pick between Victoria and my cat, and I had my cat in my family for around 7 years.
So she said she was unable to say how much money they had on them at this stage, but it was at least £1,000.
Is it fair to say you left all your stuff behind and just ran?
Yes.
You were running because the police were going to come?
Yes.
Do you accept at that point you are not in a proper state to care for a child? Do you think that is the best anyone can give your daughter?
That was our immediate gut reaction, to get away. But quite frankly, the way we have been treated by the services, we wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible.
Do you accept at that stage, with literally just the clothes you've stood up in, the clothes Victoria has stood up in, a finite amount of cash, would you accept that is not the best for your child?
My gut reaction was to take her and get out of there as quickly as possible. But obviously our plan would not have been to live destitute in the middle of nowhere indefinitely. In life, things happen which are completely unforeseen, and you have to act in a way you best see fit. And that is what I did with my child. The only reason we did what we were doing was for Victoria. It was an immediate reaction. We got into a car, into a taxi. We had enough to keep her warm. We had to recalibrate because our plans have gone up in flames. Everything we were doing was for Victoria. We went on the run for Victoria.
You would accept, wouldn't you, that that's not how a child should start their life, being on the run from the police?
Constance Martin said it was better for Victoria to be with her parents than falling into the hands of social services, alleging again that her children were abused in care.
Do you accept by that stage you had committed to go underground?
We wanted a house, which is why we went to East Ham.
You were planning to use a false name?
Yes.
On the run from the police?
Yes.
On the run from social services?
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't let my child go through that again.
Whatever the consequences?
If I had foreseen, I would rather my child is alive, yes.
Constance Martin then started to describe her concerns about some foster parents who, she said, were just doing it for the money and would plonk children down in front of the television for 9 hours rather than showing them love and care.
I'm not prepared to make that gamble with my child.
My question is, whatever the consequences, you are not letting your child go to social services.
Not whatever the consequences. She had her whole life ahead of her. If I foresaw the sequence of events and what happened to her, I would have preferred for her to have gone into care and to have a life. Of course I would.
By the 5th of January, was there no going back? You were staying underground as long as possible?
Our plan was to get a property and pay for that in cash. We intended to live off-grid before Victoria was born. My first worry was my family and these private investigators. Our plan was moving around so much, it was driving the investigators mad because they couldn't sit and watch us like they used to. In my opinion, they tampered with our cars so we couldn't travel around so much and had to stay in one place.
Mr. Smith then brought the focus back to a point Constance Martin had made during her evidence last week, that she didn't know Liverpool was a port. He said she knew full well Liverpool was a port because she'd taken her children to Ireland. And when she later spoke to authorities, she said Liverpool was one of the ports she was planning to return to. It was while she was in Ireland, she said, that she found a place she could live with no electrical trace.
There was a finding that you fled the jurisdiction. You deliberately evaded the local authority.
Having experienced it from my perspective, they are absolutely not to be trusted.
So she told the court that they had been planning to go to Harwich because she thought they'd be able to get a ferry to Denmark from there. They'd initially planned to find somewhere to stay in Harwich until they were approached by Dale Gosling, who we heard from earlier in the trial. Now, he went up to them and told them he recognised them from the TV news. Mr. Smith then started to recount Mr. Gosling's account of seeing the baby's head, and that she had not been wearing a hat despite it being windy and cold. But Constance Martin then interrupted him to say,
I do believe there should be a free press, but the problem I have found is that it is seriously affecting witnesses. People hear our daughter has died. They think we are bad people and they are adding to their witness statements. This gentleman says he saw birth gunk on her head. I think people are exaggerating and making things up because they want their day in court. There are hundreds of witnesses. People saying they had seen me looking forlorn with a baby up in Scotland. There are literally hundreds of statements.
Mr. Gosling wants his day in court.
I'm just saying that people, after seeing the news, are exaggerating their statement. At no point did my child have congealing birth gunk on its head 2 weeks after the birth. Having such media attention can make people change their statements.
Mr. Gosling was right when he said that the baby had no hat on.
I think he heard Victoria cry, and that's why he came over. He didn't see her. Because I wouldn't let him see her.
He's not just exaggerating, he's outright lying.
I didn't let anyone see Victoria. Maybe he thought he saw something on my baby's head. I'm not saying he's a liar, I'm just saying it is a false memory of some sort.
She was in distress, wasn't she?
I think she wanted feeding, but I was too scared to get her out to feed her.
You didn't accept his offer to go to his house. Wasn't that selfish?
I was not going to go to some random man's house where he could call the police and they could kick down the door. If I was a negligent parent, I would have given her to the authorities. The fact is, I loved her so much. I'm not prepared to give her to the authorities, but it was my love that kept her with me.
So that's it for today. We're expecting Constance Martin's cross-examination to continue on Wednesday.
We should remind you that Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
We'll be back on Friday. In the meantime, you can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.